Now, Phil.
The second light show happened mid-afternoon, okay? Kurt goes into the shed with the rope on when it's over and brings out the gerbil, whatchacallit. We see one of the critters is gone. There's some more talk, some more picture-taking. Sergeant Shandink says, "Okay, okay, everyone as you were. Who's on duty out in the hutch?" Brian Cole says, "Me, Sarge." The rest of us go back in the barracks, okay? And I hear Curtis say to the Sarge, "I'm going to dissect that thing before it disappears like everything else. Will you help me?" And the Sarge says he will, that night if Kurt wants. Kurt says, "Why not right now?" And the Sarge says, "Because you got a patrol to finish. Shift and a half. John Q is dependent on you, boy, and lawbreakers tremble at the sound of your engine." That's the way he talked sometimes, like a piney woods preacher. And he never said engine. Always engine. Kurt, he don't argue. Knows better. Goes off. Around 5 o'clock, Brian Cole comes in and gets me. Asks, will I cover the shed for him while he goes to the can? I say, sure. I go out there, take a look inside. Situation normal. Flyby. Thermometer's gone up a degree. I go into the hutch, decide the hutch is too hot, okay? There's an L.L. Bean catalog on the chair. I go to grab that. Just as I put my fingers on it, I hear this creak-thump sound. Only one sound like it. When you unlatch the trunk of your car and it springs up hard. I go rushing out of the hutch, over to the shed windows, Buick's trunks open. All this, what I thought at first was paper, charred bits of paper, is whooshing up out of the trunk, spinning around like they were caught in a cyclone. But the dust on the floor wasn't moving, not at all. The only moving air was coming out of the trunk. And then I saw all the pieces of paper look pretty much the same, and I decided they were leaves. Turned out that was what they were. I took my notebook out of my breast pocket, clicked out the tip of my ballpoint, and drew this. "It looks sort of like a smile," the kid said. "Like a goddamn grin," I said. Only there wasn't just one of them, was hundreds. Hundreds of black grins swirling and spinning around. Some landed on the Buick's roof, some dropped back into the trunk. Most of them went on the floor. I ran to get Tony. He came out with a video camera. He was all red in the face and muttering, "What now? What next? What the hell? What now?" Like that. Sort of funny, but only later on, okay? It wasn't funny at the time, believe me. We looked in the window. Saw the leaves scattered all across the cement floor. There were almost as many as you might have on your lawn after a big October windstorm blows through. Only by then they were curling up at the corners. Made him look a little less like grins and a little more like leaves, thank God. And they weren't staying black. They were turning whitish-gray right in front of our eyes, and thinning. Sandy was there by then. Didn't make it in time for the light show, but turned up in time for the leaf show. Sandy said, "Tony called me at home and asked if I could come in that evening around 7. He said that he and Kurt were going to do something I might want to be in on. Anyway, I didn't wait for 7. I came in right away. I was curious." "It killed the cat," Ned said, and sounded so much like his paw that I almost shivered. Then he was looking at me. "Tell the rest." "Not much to tell," I said. "The leaves were thinning. I might be wrong, but I think we could actually see it happening." "You're not wrong," Sandy said. I was excited, not thinking. Ran around to the side door of the shed, and Tony, man, Tony was on me like white on rice. He grabs me around the neck in a chokehold. "Hey," I says, let go of me, police brutality. And he tells me to save it for my gig at the comedy shop over in Statesboro. "This is no joke, Phil," he says. "I have good reason to believe I've lost one officer to that goddamn thing. I'm not losing another." I told him I'd wear the rope. I was hot to trot. Can't remember exactly why, but I was. He said he wasn't going back to get the goddamn rope. I said I'd go back and get the goddamn rope. He said, "You can forget the goddamn rope. Permission denied." So I says, "Just hold my feet, Sarge. I want to get a few of those leaves. There's some not 5 feet from the door, not even close to the car. What do you say?" I say, "You must have lost your friggin' mind. Everything in there is close to the car," he says. But since that wasn't exactly no, I went ahead and opened the door. You could smell it right away. Something like peppermint. Only not nice. Some smell underneath it, making the one on top even worse, that cabbagey smell. Made your stomach turn over, but I was almost too excited to notice. I was younger then, okay? I got down on my stomach, wormed my way in. Sarge has got me by the calves, and when I'm just a little way inside the shed, he says, "That's far enough, Phil. If you can grab some, grab away. If you can't, get out." There were all kinds that had turned white, and I got about a dozen of those. They were smooth and soft, but in a bad way. Made me think how tomatoes get when they've gone rotten under the skin. A little farther away, there was a couple that were still black. I stretched out and got a hold of them. Only the very second I touched them, they turned white like the others. There was this very faint stinging sensation in my fingertips. Got a stronger whiff of peppermint, and I heard a sound. Think I did, anyway. A kind of sigh, like the sound a soda can makes when you break the seal on the pop-top. I started wiggling out, and at first I was doing all right, but then I... Something about the feel of those things in my hands, all sleek and smooth like they were. For a few seconds, I couldn't go on. It was like I was feeling it all over again, but the kid was looking at me, and I knew he wouldn't let it go, not for love or money, so I pushed ahead, now just wanting to get it over with. I panicked, okay? Started to push backward with my elbows and kick with my feet. Summer, me in short sleeves. One of my elbows kind of winged out and touched one of the black leaves, and it hissed. Like, I don't know what, just hissed, you know? And sent up a puff of that peppermint cabbage stink. Turned white. Like me touching it had given it frostbite and killed it. Thought of that later. Right then, I didn't think about anything except getting the righteous fuck out of there. Excuse me, Shirley. Not at all, Shirley said, and patted my arm. Good girl. Always was. Better in dispatch than Babicki, by a country mile. And a whole lot easier on the eyes. I put my hand over hers and gave a little squeeze. And then I went on, and it was easier than I thought it would be. Funny how things come back when you talk about them. How they get clearer and clearer as you go along. I looked up at that old Buick, and even though it was in the middle of the shed, had to be 12 feet away from me easy. All at once it seemed a lot closer than that. Big as Mount Everest, shiny as the side of a diamond. I got the idea that the headlights were eyes, and the eyes were looking at me. And I could hear it whispering. Don't look so surprised, kid. We've all heard it whispering. No idea what it's saying, if it's really saying anything, but sure, I could hear it. Only inside my head, going from the inside out, like telepathy. Might have been imagination, but I don't think so. All of a sudden, it was like I was 6 again, scared of the thing under my bed. It meant to take me away, I was sure of it. Take me to wherever it had taken Ennis. So I panicked. I yelled, pull me, hurry up. And they sure did, the Sarge and some other guy. The other guy was me, Sandy said. You scared the living crap out of us, Phil. You seemed all right at first, and then you started to yell and twist and buck. I sort of expected to see you bleeding somewhere, turning blue in the face. But all you had was, well... And he made a little gesture at me to go on. I had the leaves, what was left of them anyway. When I freaked out, I must have made fists, okay? Clenched down on them. And once I was back outside, I realized my hands were all wet. People were yelling, "Are you all right? And what happened in there, Phil?" Me up on my knees with most of my shirt around my neck and a damn floor burn on my gut from being dragged, and I'm thinking, my hands are bleeding, that's why they're wet. Then I see this white goo, looked like the kind of paste the teacher gives you in the first grade. It was all that what was left of the leaves. I stopped, thought about it. And now I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? It didn't look like paste at all. It was like I had 2 fistfuls of warm bulges, and the smell was awful, I don't know why. You could say a little peppermint and cabbage, what's the big deal? And you'd be right. But at the same time, you'd be wrong, because really, that smell was like nothing on earth. Not that I ever smelled before, anyway. I wiped my hands on my pants and went back to the barracks. Went downstairs. Brian Cole is just coming out of the crapper down there. He thought he heard some yelling, wants to know what's going on. I pay him absolutely no mind, almost knock him over getting into the can, matter of fact. I start washing my hands. I'm still washing away when all at once I think of how I looked with that cummy white leaf gunk dripping out of my fists, and how it was so warm and soft and somehow sleek, and how it made strings when I opened up my fingers. And that was it. Thinking of how it made strings between my palms and the tips of my fingers, I upchucked. It wasn't like having your guts send your supper back by Western Union, either. It was like my actual stomach making a personal appearance, coming right up my throat and tipping everything I'd swallowed down lately right back out my mouth. The way my ma used to throw her dirty wash water over the back porch railing. I don't mean to go on about it, but you need to know. It's another way of trying to understand. It wasn't like puking, it was like dying. Only other time I had anything like that was my first road fatality. I get there, and the first thing I see is a loaf of Wonder Bread on the yellow line of the old Statler Pike, and the next thing I see is the top half of a kid, little boy with blonde hair. Next thing I see is there's a fly on the kid's tongue, washing its legs. That set me off. I thought I was going to puke myself to death.
It happened to me, too, Huddy said. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Not ashamed, I said, trying to make him see us all, okay?
I took in a deep breath, smelling the sweet air, and then it hit me that the kid's father was also a roadkill. I gave the kid a smile.
Oh, well, thank God for small favors. The commode was right next to the basin, and I didn't get hardly any on my shoes or the floor.
And in the end, Sandy said, the leaves came to nothing, and I mean that literally. They melted like the witch in The Wizard of Oz. You could see traces of them in Shed B for a while, but after a week there was nothing but some little stains on the concrete, yellowish, very pale.
Yeah, and for the next couple of months I turned into one of those compulsive hand washers, I said. There were days when I couldn't bring myself to touch food. If my wife packed me sandwiches, I picked them up with a napkin and ate them that way, dropping the last piece out of the napkin and into my mouth so I never had to touch any of it with my fingers. If I was by myself in my cruiser, I was apt to eat with my gloves on. And I kept thinking I'd get sick just the same. What I kept imagining was that gum disease where all your teeth fall out. But I got over it. I looked at Ned and waited until he met my eyes. I got over it, son. He met my eyes, but there was nothing in them. It was funny, like they were painted on or something. Okay?